Take your Bible, if you will. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2 this morning. While you're turning there, those of you that are members around here, you know me. You know I like to pick on people. And they were picking on the bass singer just a little bit this morning and talking about him. He does a fine job singing bass. Good bass singer. However, I understand he's not the guy you want to be your navigator. They were in Abilene last night, and they drove to Fort Worth, and it told me on the phone, said, we'll probably spend the night on your parking lot, and so I was supposed to meet them here at 8 o'clock. So I got here at 8 o'clock, and when I drove on the parking lot, my vehicle was the only vehicle on the parking lot, and I immediately had a thought, and I said, well, we'll see what happens. I began to think, well, if they don't show up, what will we do? And I began to outline thoughts in my mind about that. And I guess it was probably maybe 20 after 8, maybe at least that much. I got a phone call from the leader of the group, and he said, our bass singer took us to the wrong church. They had went to the wrong church. Guy let them in. They had unloaded the bus, taken their stuff in. They didn't have it all quite set up, but they took it in. And then they found out, I think somebody called the preacher, and the preacher said, well, I'm glad they're here, but I sure wasn't expecting them. So they figured out they were just at the wrong church. But, hey, it's all right. If you just find your way home, you're okay, right? If you can just find your way home. So that'll be good. All right, I enjoy the singing, but I tell you what, when you have church, you need some preaching. Yes, and we're going to have a little preaching this morning. Hebrews chapter 2, if you will, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. I want you to notice that question in verse 2. How shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, I suppose most everybody here, we've seen advertisements for vacation destinations, right? We've seen those advertisements, you know, maybe somewhere down in the Caribbean, maybe in the Virgin Islands. I think that's in the Caribbean. Aruba and some of those other places, you know. Or maybe really exotic out in the South Pacific, someplace like Tahiti or Bora Bora. Many times the invitation is given to escape to such a place. Just escape and get away. The idea is, you know, if we can just get away from the cares and the problems of life and escape to a land of no worry and no work. Well, spend the money, give it a try, but I think you're going to find out you really can't get away from the worries and the cares of this old life, you know. You just can't escape from them. Maybe you can do it for a day or two, but I guarantee you this, the Bible's true when it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You cannot and you will not escape if you do that. And I believe there's really two applications to this verse. First of all, I believe this, you can't escape hell if you neglect to accept salvation. You can't escape hell if you neglect salvation. Salvation, eternal life, if you will, is offered as a free gift. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. All right? Ephesians 2, if you want to turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, a very well-known scripture. And the Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's a gift of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin. Wages, that's what you earn. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hey, but I tell you something, there's something about a gift. Every gift has to be accepted before it'll do you any good. You can offer something as a gift, but people can turn it down. People can turn it down. I've had them call me on the phone and say, hey, you've won a vacation. And I say, nah, I don't think so. See you. And you say, well, preacher, you can't trust that deal. I understand. But I'll tell you this, the truth of the matter is every free gift, it's no good until it's accepted. No good at all until it's accepted. And it can be offered. We can offer things to people. It can be offered to you. It can be pushed towards you. It can be encouraged upon you. But you've still got to accept it before it's yours. Before it is yours. It's got to be accepted. If you neglect to accept God's gift, His free gift of eternal life, you will not, you cannot escape the flames of hell. You say, well, preacher, I just don't think that's so. Well, the Bible says in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be cast into hell and all the nations that forget God. So, well, preacher, wait a minute. I'm really not that wicked. I'm really not such a wicked people. I know the Bible said the wicked, but I'm not right. Maybe you're like the person I talked to one time, knocked on her door. This lady came to the door, and she said that she thought she'd go to heaven. She's pretty sure she would. She said, because I've never done anything really evil. Never done anything really evil. And so maybe you're thinking that way. You think, well, hey, I'm okay because I'm not wicked. I understand the wicked, but preacher, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Well, I'm glad to hear that. But there's a story that's given to us in the Word of God in Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 22. The Bible said, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, we don't know anything about the rich man other than he was rich. And we don't know that he was a wicked man. We just know he was a rich man. You say, well, preacher, I'm okay because I ain't rich. I'm safe. I'm not rich. Well, wait a minute. The rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. Do you understand that? He did not go to hell because he was rich. That wasn't the reason he went there, all right? Let me take you over to Luke chapter 18. Read a few verses there to you. The Bible gives an account. In verse 11, we find these words. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Now, we give this guy a hard time, but wait a minute. He wasn't a bad guy. He said, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And he said in verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, all of those things are admirable things. That's a good thing. But there was another fellow in the temple with him, the publican, in verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, publican wasn't an individual to be bragged on in those days. They did not have a good reputation. They were equivalent to the IRS guy of today, all right? Now, I know all of you think the IRS is my friend. Wait till they call you in to be audited, all right? You'll find out they're not your friend. But I want to tell you, this is what the Bible said about these two. The Pharisee who said, man, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. He said, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of everything. He's a good fellow. But here's what the Bible said about him and the publican. I'll tell you, this man went down to his house justified. That's the publican, rather than the other. Why? Why? Because that publican recognized the fact he needed God. He recognized the fact, I can't get there on my own. And his prayer was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Hey, the truth of the matter is, It says this man went down to his house justified. Not the good man, but the other man. Wasn't the good man. So I'm saying to you, say, well, preacher, I'm not wicked or I'm not rich. Wait a minute, I'm a good person. Can I say this to you? Good people go to hell. Good people can go to hell. All who do good won't make it. You say, well, preacher, who do you think you are to say that? Well, I'll just give you the Bible, all right? Not because of me and my great knowledge, but here's what the Bible said. The Lord was speaking, and he said in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, I don't know if you think about it, but those words stagger me. If there's anything that cares, that causes me concern, it is this. I hate to think that somebody could come to First Baptist Church week after week, service after service, hear the Word of God preached, but never trust Christ as their Savior. To walk out of the building day after day, time after time, never having settled it between them and God, never having accepted that gift of eternal life. Never having done that. I talk to people and they say, well, preacher, I'm going to heaven because I've been baptized. Nope, that's not what it takes. Well, I joined the church. You can join every church in Tarrant County. By the way, if you do that, you're going to be one busy person, all right? Because there's a ton of churches. I mean, they're everywhere, all right? And you'd be busy. You could join every one of them, but that's not going to get you to heaven. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ said you must be born again. He said, "This not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He said, what is that will? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Now listen, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, that's the will of God. You said, what's the will of God? That you come to repentance. That you come to that point where you realize in your life, hey, I'm a sinner. I can't help myself. And because I'm a sinner, I'm headed for a place called hell and to spend an eternity there. But I got good news. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, I'm glad as a 9-year-old boy, years ago, Tice, Florida, First Baptist Church of Tice, Florida, Sunday night. Man, I was sitting there, been under conviction for weeks. He said, preacher, you were 9 years old. Yeah, but God's working on me. You don't have to be 90 to get saved, all right? But he will save you at 90 if that's where you are, all right? But you need to be born again. I'm so glad that night, boy, I came and I trusted Christ as my Savior. I called upon him and said, Lord, save me. Save me. I ask you this morning, have you done that? Is there a time in your life you can remember when you did that? Can you put the finger on that day in your life? Now, you may be like me. I don't remember the date. Like I said, I was 9 years old. There was only two dates, about three dates I carried about when I was 9 years old. One was my birthday. Second was Christmas. And the other was the last day of school, all right? Thank God we get out of school, you know. And I don't know the date. But I tell you what, I remember that day. I remember that day. I can tell you where I was. I can remember that day. You got a day like that in your life? Hey, listen, the Lord didn't just all of a sudden one day sort of just come on you and you didn't do anything and you just woke up the next day and said, well, I think I'm saved. No, it's a conscious decision. You have to trust Christ. You have to accept that free gift of salvation. It's offered, but it's got to be accepted. It's got to be accepted. Have you trusted him? Hey, you can't escape hell if you neglect to accept God's free gift of salvation. But I want to say this to you. If you have your Bible, turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I can take you to that place. I remember the day. I remember the time." You might even remember the date. And you said, "Boy, I know when I got saved. I know when I trusted the Lord as my Savior." Wonderful. I'm glad you have. But wait a minute. This verse there in Hebrews still speaks to you. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You said, "Well, what do you mean? What are you talking about?" Philippians chapter 2. Look, if you will, verse 12. Verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." I want you to notice what that verse said there. At the end of verse 12, "work out your own salvation." You say, "Wait a minute, preacher, just a while ago you said it's a free gift." It is. It is. Well, what's this workout stuff? It's not working to be saved. Because you can't earn it. Hey, the truth of the matter is it's working out. That salvation is working because you are saved. Because God did something for you back under at some point, and you trusted him and your heart and asked him to save your soul. Hey, salvation doesn't come on the outside. Salvation comes on the inside. You're looking at my body. I'll say this to you. This is not really me. The real me is inside. The real me is inside. All right? That's the real me. This body. Hey, by the way, my body didn't get saved. My body didn't get saved. One of these days, if the Lord doesn't come back, this body's going to die. They're going to put it in a box. They're going to try to make me look good. That won't be easy. They're going to try to make me look good. Going to have a funeral service. And you need to come if you're here, all right? And you need to be proper about it. You need to feel sorrow. You need to say, "Boy, I'm sure glad he's... I wish he wasn't gone." All right? Then you can follow that hearse out to Mount Olivet Cemetery. We've already bought the plots. It's the only land you really ever own. You don't have to pay taxes on it. Then you don't have to worry about them taking it away from you, all right? But I'll tell you, that's just the body. This body wasn't saved. When I was a 9-year-old boy, it was a soul and spirit that were born again. That's what got saved. All right, that was on the inside. Now God's at work in the believer. Look at verse 13. Still got your Bible open there? Verse 13 there in Philippians 2 says, "For it is God which worketh in you." He's working in you to do something. Now what he does on the inside shows up on the outside, all right? Shows up. What happens to you on the inside shows up. When you get sick on the inside, it shows up on the outside. Showed up. My homeroom teacher and my high school 12th grade English teacher talked about it. He said, he was up in years then. He said, "When I first started teaching, I was working at this country school." He said, "I got to noticing one of the boys in the back corner of the class every so often, he spit out the window." And he said, "I got to notice, and the reason he's spitting out the window is because he's chewing tobacco." And he said, "I didn't say anything to him. I just walked around there and pushed the window down." He said, "Man, I shut that window, and after a while, he started looking a little different than he had been." He He said, you could tell something was going on the inside, all right? And he said, you know, he never chewed tobacco in my class again, huh? It cured him. Hey, what happens on the inside shows up on the outside. God's working in you, all right? Working in you. Now notice, it's to His good pleasure. He's doing what He wants to do in you. Now our problem is, we fight Him. He's trying to work a work in us and we resist it. We fight against what He's trying to do in and through your life. And you resist it, you put up that opposition. Hey, He's working on you, and that's working out your salvation, all right? To put it out there, and it's to be something that takes place in you. Look at verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. What goes on in that work, as we allow Him to work in us, we're to do it without griping and bellyaching. Boy, I tell you, that's something we're professionals at. We're professional. We know how to bellyache. We know how to murmur. We know how to fuss. We know how to complain. We do. We're good at it. I mean, we can find fault with everything. We can find fault with the singing. I really started to ask. Now don't raise your hand now. It's too late. We're not. But I started to ask, okay, does anybody think it's too loud? Was it not loud enough? Or was it perfect? Now, I guarantee you, somebody would have said, it's too loud. Somebody said, it's not loud enough. It's just like being in church. Preacher, it's too cold. Turn the air conditioner down, it's too cold. Then we got people saying, preacher, it's not cool enough. I'm roasting. I'm dying. There's never a happy medium. There's no time. Everybody's satisfied. And everybody says, it's wonderful. The temperature's perfect. Nobody gets there. Doesn't happen. We're fussers. We're gripers. We're bellyachers. I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to letting God work in us and what He wants us to do and what we do for Him, it ought not to be done griping and bellyaching. It ought not to be, okay, but... No, hey, it ought to be with rejoicing. It ought to be with rejoicing. Thanking Him for what He's done in your life. What a blessing. Hey, what a joy it is to know when you leave this old world, you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. I hear people say sometime, well, they're in a better place. And I hear them say it about people, there's absolutely no evidence they ever got born again. None whatsoever. Can I tell you this? Everybody that dies doesn't go to a better place. It's only those that have been born again. But if you're saved this morning and that you're working out that salvation in your life, it ought to be worked out with rejoicing and happiness and a thrill. Brother Marion gets up here and leads us singing. He tries to get you to smile, you know. And you say, you can't smile and sing at the same time. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Now, not every word. It's hard to smile singing, oh, you can't do that. Changes the note, all right? But honest, can't you smile? We sing, oh, how smile. I love Jesus. You don't have to sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. You say, well, preacher, I can't smile. Yeah, you can. There ought to be that happiness that bubbles out of us. I get to church. I don't care how bad I felt before I got here. I feel better when I'm here. I feel better when I'm just being in the house of God. Hey, rejoicing, rejoicing. Hey, look at verse 15. Verse 15, when you work out your salvation, it'll produce a good testimony. Notice what it says. That ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Hey, in the midst of all of that, we're to be blameless, harmless, without rebuke, shining in a dark, crooked, perverse nation. Can't happen, preacher. It can if you don't neglect that so great salvation. If you won't neglect that, boy, it'll come out of you, all right? It'll work. Man, that ought to be such in our lives. that we allow that great salvation. We don't neglect it. We don't say, well, I'm saved, going to heaven, that's it. Done, done deal. Everything's good. No, it's to work it out. Work it out in our, not to neglect the fact we've been saved, to neglect the fact of what God did for you. How shall we escape? You won't escape. If you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to spend an eternity in hell. But you don't have to. Good people can go to hell. You say, well, who goes to heaven? Forgiven people. Forgiven. Forgiven folks. Man, you read over there in Corinthians where Paul talks to those Corinthians and he talks about the sinners and everything, and he says, such were some of you. Some of you. But boy, what a blessing it is when God saves our soul. He changes that. He changes that. Look, you can't escape hell if you neglect God's gift of salvation. If you're here this morning counting on anything else to get you to heaven, you're neglecting the great salvation God's offered to you. Don't do that. Hey, Christian, you're not going to escape judgment. The judgment of God on the things you've done in your body since salvation. If you neglected to work out what God did within you, there's going to be loss of reward. The Bible teaches that. There's going to be a loss of reward. But can I say this to you? There is time to change. There is time to overcome your neglect. It's not too late to make a difference. The Bible said if you're not saved, today's the day of salvation. You can get saved today. You don't have to put it off. You say, well, we got to schedule it. No, you don't. You can get saved right now, all right? You can get saved right now. You say, well, the invitation hadn't started. Trust me, if you get up and head this way, we'll start it, all right? We're more concerned about you getting to heaven than we are of anything else. I want you to know the Savior. Well, would you just come to Him? Hey, Christian, you've been saved, but you've really neglected that salvation. It's not a big thing in your life. It's just there. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Okay. Hey, you can get right with God today. You can get right with Him. Hey, it's time to end the neglect, okay? It's time to get with it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You won't. You can't. I can't. None of us can. You can't escape it, all right? Don't let that, don't even think about it. God's given that great salvation. Here's a lost person, never trusted Christ. Would you accept Him today and trust Him today as your Savior? Would you come to Him and call upon Him and ask Him to save your soul? Said, preacher, what do I need to do? In just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. We're going to invite you to come. I'll meet you right here at the front. And you just come and you, hey, you don't have to come confess anything to me. You just come and say, preacher, I want to trust Christ. We'll have somebody open the Bible and show you what the Bible says so you understand completely. Christian, you're here in salvation. Nope, you're saved. You're going to heaven. But the truth of the matter is you've not let God work in you. You've not worked out that salvation that occurred on the inside. What you have done has been done with griping and complaining. And the truth is you don't have a good testimony. You're not blameless. You're not without rebuke. You're not letting that light shine. But you'll spend some time at the altar. You need to come kneel at these front steps or kneel at this front pew. You said, I can't kneel, then sit down. You said, well, why can't I do it right here where I'm at? It's a good thing for you and me to humble ourselves before God. That's why. That's why. God's speaking to you. Hey, some things need to change. This is the time to do it. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. Lord,